Yeah, thank you. That was just marvelous time in the Lord's presence here with worship. That was great. Thank you, guys. Thank you, worship team. Can we thank the worship team for leading us? Don't they? They really do a terrific job, and what they do is not easy, so I'm very thankful for their work. And a couple of things quick. So, yes, these flowers are in memoriam to Jason Duran. We celebrated his life this last week, and it was just a good celebration. You know, thankfully, we do have that hope that Jason is in the presence of the Lord right now. So thank God for that. Those of you that knew Jason, you know what just a special brother he is. And then the other thing that I wanted to call your attention to is that we're in a season of prayer. We're in Lent. And Lent is the 40 days preparing for Easter. And the last couple of years, we've really been developing this thing during this season of Lent, which is just we're praying together as a church, but we're also praying with the other local churches in our town. And there are times, I think they're listed in your bulletin, we're praying three times every day at the Salvation Army Church on Main Street. And you don't have to go to all three. It's, you know, three times so that hopefully you can hit one of them. That's the idea. And so go. I know this week I've been going, I go at the 6:45 one. That time slot just works the best for me. And I love that time. It's a great way to start the day. We pray for 30 minutes and then go to work. It's just really, really sweet. And I know that God is answering those prayers, and I want you to be a part of them. I don't want you to miss out on it. And then the other thing, speaking of prayer, is this. We had this in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago, and we put it in again. The bullseye. So the challenge here is this. I'm believing that the man that I have in my bullseye is, I'm praying for him every single day. I'm believing that he is going to come to know Jesus by Easter. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Take out your thing and put the name of someone that you're going to pray for every single day between now and Easter, and trust God that that person is going to come to faith in Jesus Christ by Easter Sunday. And we're going to do a baptism on Easter Sunday, and that's going to be really exciting. I'm praying that some of these people will actually be baptized on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday. Wouldn't that be cool? It is so cool. We've seen God answer prayers in amazing ways in the last several months in our church as we've been praying for friends that don't know Jesus yet. He's answered them. And in fact, Jason was an answer to prayer. Actually, he was on a pink card last year and came to Christ. I mean, you know, so God's honoring, God's working, he really is moving among us. And I can't encourage you strongly enough to participate with me. See, here's where this is cool. I don't know the person that's on your heart. You do. You know them, obviously. They're someone you love, right? But if I know that you are joining with me in a bullseye, you have written somebody in your bullseye, then when I'm praying during the week and God brings you to my mind, I also pray for your friend. And I don't have to know their name, but God knows them, right? And he answers that. And I believe we can do that for one another. As God prompts you to pray for me, could you also pray for my friend? And God knows who that person is. God answers powerfully those prayers. So I'm just excited to see what he's doing. By the way, on Easter Sunday morning, I think I can safely start promoting this. If I've made a mistake, forgive me. Easter Sunday morning, we're going to have two services, one at 8:30 and then one at 10:30, in order to accommodate everyone. If you've come, I know a number of people have come, and a couple of Sundays ago, I heard there were four cars circling our parking lot looking for a space, and then sadly left, and that's I just feel so badly about that. I guess the message is get here early. Maybe that's the message. Take the front seat. Right, Marvin? There's plenty of room up there, isn't there? So, you know, come early and get in on the action. But in order to accommodate, you know, Easter is going to be a busy day, and we're doing baptism, and so there's going to be, it's just going to be an awesome day. I can't wait. And so we'll have two services on Easter Sunday morning, one at 8:30, one at 10:30, and it's just going to be an awesome day. So, to the Word. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. I'll be there in just a second. I need a couple of our young people who are young and good-looking and full of energy to help me pass these papers out. Just to, come on, that's great. Good job. Thank you, Biddy. And then who else do we got? Oh, excellent. Come on, Lenny, you're young. Here we go. Okay. He's better. Yeah, right. You're not kidding, Lenny. You're gonna get mockery for that one, buddy. So what this is this. This week we're looking at the third commandment of the Ten Commandments, which is thou shalt not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And in my study this week, I came across so many passages that I just couldn't include them all. I mean, this was one of those messages that I had to leave a lot of clippings on the floor, but they were good clippings, and I didn't want you to miss them. So this paper is for you. Take it home and look it up later. You know, go and enjoy on your own. And in fact, just even this morning in our prayer time, and while we were praying, another scripture came out that I hadn't even gotten to this last week. And I thought, oh, that would have been another good one. So there's so much material on this that's also the disclaimer. If I miss something this morning, it's very possible, because this is a big subject, and to cover it in 20 minutes is just impossible. So what I have is something condensed down. Thank you, Aspen, so much. Thanks for your help, you guys. But we're in this series on the Ten Commandments, and this morning we're going to look at the third commandment. And I'm going to begin by reading Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 7. So Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words. So these are from God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God set us free. These Ten Commandments are how you stay free. That's why the byline for this sermon series is set free to live free. The Ten Commandments are how we live free. It's as though God says, okay, I got you out of trouble. Now here's how you stay out of trouble. These Ten Commands. And these Ten Commands, we've learned, are moral commands. They're not just nice suggestions. They're not great ideas. These are actually the backbone. It's an invisible backbone to life. And when we follow them, there's blessings. And when we break them, there are consequences. Because they're just like the laws of physics. You break gravity, you're going to pay for it. Gravity always wins. These always win. God designed life that way. Verse 3, the first command, you shall have no other gods before me. The second command, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. We dealt with this last week, and if you missed it, it's on our church Facebook page. We Facebook live this every Sunday, and then if you don't get that, you can go to our church website and catch up on that. Now this morning, we go to verse 7, the third command. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The old King James says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Other translations say to profane his name, to profane. The word profane has an interesting history. It comes from two Latin words, profanus. Pro means forward, and fanus means sacred. So taking what's sacred out. So the idea is that inside the temple is a sacred space, and everything inside that temple is sacred. And then when you take it out of the temple, you've profaned it. You've taken it out from where it belongs and put it into something that's common. And the idea is that God's name is holy, and it's not to be treated common. It's not to be treated like just like the name Steve, although Steve's a great guy, I'm sure, but it's a whole different name. And so he says, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Maybe we need to talk about what a name is. How do you properly use a name? What are the uses for a name? Why do we have names? If we understand the uses for a name, maybe then we can understand how to misuse, what it means to misuse a name. So the first thing that a name is used for is a name is used as identification. It's a label. When you say Doug, well, that, if you know me, my face comes up in your mind. The face matches the label. It's an ID. God has a name. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He says this. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Look what he says. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. God's name is I am. I am. I'm always present. God's not stuck in your past. And God's not so far ahead of you in the future. God is with you now. I am. Who is the answer to the questions of your soul? God says, I am. Who is your salvation? God says, I am. Who is your healer? God says, I am. Who is your provider? God says, I am. I am. God is all sufficient, self-contained, eternal, always the same. He was here long before he ever created the world, and he'll be here long after this world turns to dust. I am, God says. That's his name. So when you say God, God says yes. There's only one. God. If I say God, Harless doesn't answer. I say God, God answers. Psalms 99, verse 6. Psalms 99. I have a bunch of passages here. Hopefully, did I find it? 99, there it is. 99, verses 6 and 7. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. There's kind of three parts to that. These men called upon God. God answered. And then they obeyed. Seems like that's how that works in our relationship with God. We call out to God. God answers. We obey. That's the proper order for things. When you call the name of God, he answers. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on his name, you'll be saved. The Romans passage, it says the same thing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Your name identifies who you are. So in my house, if I'm out in the yard and I need my wife, I call Karis, and my wife answers. My son doesn't answer because I haven't called him, right? If I want my son, I call Caston. He answers, and my wife doesn't answer because I've called his name. And my kids, if you're those of you parents, maybe your kids went through the same phase my kids did when they were little. They would go, Daddy, 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 Daddy. And I say, yes, I forget. Remember that? Daddy, 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 yes, oh, nothing. You know, they do that, man, that was a frustrating phase of life when my kids were growing up. And we had to sit them down, we had to say, look, I love you. If you keep doing that, one of these times you're going to call me, and I'm just going to think you're joking around, and you're going to really need me, and then I'm not going to come. So I wonder if that's the reason why some of us find that God is distant, because we've called his name flippantly so often. Then when I need him, I call, and I hear nothing. I call upon the Lord, and I'm saved. I call upon the Lord, and I'm healed. I pray in the name of Jesus, and it's done, he says. So this name that identifies this God, it's an awesome and a powerful name. This is the one to whom I am speaking. I'm speaking to the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the sovereign ruler of all things. I'm speaking to the great I am. The one whose name, when it gets mentioned, as Elaine referred to, in heaven, causes every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, just at the mere mention of the name. That's how powerful this name is. It identifies the one to whom I am speaking. Second thing that a name does is a name is a reputation. We say somebody has a good name, somebody has a bad name. A bad name is a bad reputation, right? A good name is a good reputation. There's a reason why parents don't name their kids Hitler. If I say the name Hitler, does anything good come to mind? Doesn't, does it? Wouldn't you feel really bad if some kid got named Hitler? You say, man, that's a lousy name. I'd change that one as soon as I could, right? Because the name is associated with a certain reputation, and that reputation is horrible. So God has a reputation. His name has a reputation. In the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name. Your name, may your name, may your reputation, God, be held in high esteem. Let's look at some of these scriptures, and I don't have them written down, Nathan, so I'm really depending on the slides. So Psalms 52, verse 9, he says, I will hope in your name, for your name is good. Why can I have hope in God's name? Well, because his reputation is good. This next one, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they're safe. God's name is protective, and I can run to it, and I can find refuge in his name because his name is good. His reputation precedes him. And because I know that God is good, I can run to God because he's good. Here's the next verse. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. God's name is holy. That's his reputation. When you think God, you don't think slime ball. You don't think negative. You don't think dirty dealer. No, 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 no. When I hear the name of God, I think holy, revered, awesome, pure, righteous, unsullied, untainted, strong, good, powerful. Are these not things that you think of when you hear the name God? Because his reputation is his name. Leviticus 19 says, Do not swear falsely by my name, God says, and so profane it. Profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. See, swearing falsely by God's name profanes his name. Why? Well, because God is not false. God doesn't lie. So if I lie in God's name, what have I done? I've profaned it. I've misused it. Because I'm sullying God's reputation. Let me give you a very extreme example. Someone blows up an abortion clinic in the name of God. What's that done? It's profaned his name, has it not? Because God's reputation is not blow up abortion clinics. Follow that logic? And when we do that, we've profaned his name. When I do something, or when I say something that somehow changes his reputation, or that sullies his reputation, that would be profaning, misusing his name, taking his name in vain. Another way that we take his name in vain or that we misuse his name is when we reduce him down to just one simple thing. And we do this all the time. I know you guys pretty well. I'm pretty certain we do not have any abortion clinic bombers in our church. I'm positive of that. So that example was wicked extreme. I get that. But here's one that's more common to all of us. Are you ready? Now I'm going to start meddling in your life. It's this. We reduce God's character to just one thing. For example, God is love. Oh, God is all love. He's so loving. And you are right. The Bible says God is love. However, God is so much more than that. And when all you do is ride that one pony, you just camp on that one aspect of God's character, you actually are misusing his name. Because God loves, yes. God also hates your sin. See, God is accepting. God accepts us. He's so gracious and accepting. But God does not accept your sin. Does this make sense? God is a judge, but he's also gracious. God is righteous. God is love. God hates sin. God exercises wrath towards sin. Let us not reduce God to one concept and think that he's all about that one concept. In doing so, you've misused his name. You've misrepresented him. Does this make sense? Are you following me? That's called bad theology right there. We learned that, and that's because God is infinite. God is so much more. Yes, God is love. Oh, thank God. Can we just get an amen for God's great love? It's wonderful, but he's so much bigger than that as well. And let us not reduce him to just this one theological concept and just ride that pony all day long. You know, if you do, you've misused his name. He's bigger than that. I remember about 15 or 16 years ago, there was a movement that swept through the church, and I really haven't heard much about it in a while, but the grace movement. And we even had people that left our church because they accused us of being legalistic, because they were all about grace. God's all about grace. I think it's funny that they accused us of being legalistic. I don't know, we have problems, but I don't think that's one of them in our church. But that's the problem. And you know what happened in that movement? Here's what happened in that movement. Friend, is God grace? Is God gracious? Yes, he is. But here's what happened in that movement. Because they began to just emphasize his grace over everything else, they actually came to the place, many of them did, that said there is no hell and everybody's saved because we're all under grace. Because Jesus died, the wrath of God's been satisfied, everybody's under grace. That's not true. That's what happens when you take one concept of God and camp on it. You misuse his name. So God's name is, okay, thanks, you're moving me on. Thank you, Nathan, you're keeping me on task because I got preaching. The third The third thing that a name is this. A name is a connector. Thank you, Nathan. A connector. It connects you to something bigger. There's a bigger story behind this person. What is that story? For example, my last name, Rouse, R-O-W-S-E, is different than a lot of other Rouses. They spell it with a U. And the W actually connects me to a certain line of Rouses that goes all the way back to Normandy a couple hundred years ago. It's the name connects me to a story. Rouse doesn't connect me to Flores, right? That's a different story. It's a good story, though, Harless. It doesn't, but it's a different one. We're connected in a different way. God's name is connected. When you use the name God, you're connecting him to him and his story. Let me just get right to the word. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God says, if my people who are called by my name. God calls a people by his own name. John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, to all who believed, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he's given the right to become children of God. Believed in his name, become his child. And then I like this one, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, that I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Can you imagine that? If you are in Christ, you wear his name. God has put his name on you. That's partly why I love to study the Bible so much, because these people are my people. If you know Jesus, this is your family. These guys, Moses, he's your patriarch. Abraham, he's your ancestor. King David, he's your ancestor. In the faith, you're reading your family history when you study Scripture. These are your roots, as we say in West Virginia. Up here, you say roots, I know, but roots is, and we also climb on roofs, not roofs, in West Virginia. Anyway, these are your roots, friends. These are where you come from, where you hail from. You're connected to this story because you carry the name of God on your life. You cut me open, you're going to see God's DNA in my blood. You're going to see his fingerprints all over my soul. I'm his. He's mine. He staked a claim on my life. I wear his name. Connected to him. And we use his name properly when we understand that connection. That there's a family here that God is building. He's the Father. We're the children. Jesus is our big brother. We wear the family name. We carry the family name everywhere we go. And that's why this scripture, I think this next scripture, is there another one, Nathan? Oh, no, okay, go back then, sorry. You got to go back a couple more. There was another one you had there. But anyway, where, friends, 2 Timothy, we're told to abstain from wickedness because we wear his name. In other words, your behavior, my behavior, it represents the family. I represent the family. When you go to work tomorrow, you're representing the family. The one that wears the name of God on it. That's the one you represent. And when you leave these doors today, you're representing the family. That means you carry his name, which means you have access to him, which means that you can bring him everywhere you go. I've said it before, heaven touches earth everywhere you go, because you carry his name with you. Friends, God's name is awesome, holy, right, pure, powerful. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles healed a man in the name of Jesus. They said, you know, I don't have any silver or gold, but I do have this name. And the guy became whole in the name of Jesus. And then they got in trouble for it. And the leaders brought him in and they beat him up really good. And then they told him, okay, here's the deal. We'll beat you up this time, but don't ever preach in this name again. And you know what the disciples said? Well, you're going to have to kill us because we can't stop talking about this name. This name has captured our imagination. This name has stolen my heart. This name is what gets me up in the morning and moves me through the day. This name that healed this cripple, that name has changed my life, that name. So I can't stop talking about that name because that name is an awesome name. I'm no rapper. But here, I wrote a little rap. I was thinking about this. Ready? Yeah, ready. Okay, here we go. He's got the name above every other name. You'll never be the same if you call on his name. It's a crying shame. You're the only one to blame if you misuse his name. Are you insane? Jesus came, so call on his name. Find freedom and joy, forgiveness and claim the blessings of God by calling on his name. Boo! There you go. That's as close as I'm going to get to the hood, right there. Guys, there's no greater name. If there's one thing that I pray and that I desire for us as a result of this message today is that we begin to fear and to revere the name of Jesus Christ and we hold it in high regard. Do you understand when you pray the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name? That's exactly what you're asking for in that line. You're saying, Father, I want your name to be hallowed. I want your name to be revered. Your name to be held in high esteem. I want that to happen in my life this day. May your name be held in high esteem. That's the prayer. And God, may your name be held in high esteem in New River Church. May we not misuse your name. Forgive me, Father, for misusing your name. Forgive me, Father, for reducing your name to my own experiences. Oh, God, you're so much bigger than my experiences. Oh, Father, may your name be hallowed among us this day and forevermore. Friends, there are some great blessings if you treat the name of God right. Look at those blessings. I printed them in your bulletins. They're really good. His name, it gives victory. It gives victory over your foes. That's the next slide there, Nate. Come on, man, you've been ahead of me the whole time, and now you're behind. Okay, there it is. I love you, buddy. So the first one is this. It brings victory over our foes. The name of God brings victory. The name of God brings protection from our enemy. You understand that the devil sees you. You don't want him seeing you. If he sees you, he messes with you. But if he looks at you and he sees Jesus, he flees. You follow that. You want his name on your life. It guards you from the attack of the enemy. His name gives adoption into his family. He literally says, okay, I will now bring you into my home and give you my name. His name brings salvation to your soul. It's the name that Billy Graham preached for decades. And millions of people around the world came to faith in Jesus Christ. How? Through the name of Jesus Christ, not the name of Billy Graham. He would have been the first to say it. The name of Jesus is the one that saves souls. And then lastly, his name brings healing from sickness. Do you understand, friends, that God has called himself Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer? He actually says that healer is his name. And so when I say that God doesn't heal, I'm misusing his name. I'm taking his name in vain. Because God's like, what's up with that? I call myself healer. I'm telling you I'm healer. Let us not misuse his name. You see, here's the danger. We reduce God to our experience. I want my experience to be raised up to what God says it's supposed to be. God says, look, I'm Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. So when you say, God can't provide for me, God's falling short, you're misusing his name. You know, just because we have credit cards doesn't mean we don't need Jehovah Jireh anymore. He still is our provider. And just because we have doctors doesn't mean we don't need the Lord our healer anymore. He still is our healer. Always was and always will be. It's who he is. Let us not misuse his name. Let us hold it up in high regard and hallow it. Let's pray. I need the worship team to come. Father, yeah, Lord. So friends, just with your eyes closed, let's pray here and let's process this. As we talk about the name of the Lord, have you seen any way in your life in which you've misused his name? I know that I have this week. I know that I have. As I've studied and prepared, I've seen, friends, I've had to bow and repent numerous times as I've studied for this message. I have misused the name of my God so often. It's just become such a regular part of my life. And Lord, I'm so sorry for that. I pray that the fear of God returns to my heart. I'm sorry, Lord, for reducing your name and treating it like it's just any other name. It's not. Your name is above every name. I maybe, friends, maybe, I don't know if you do, but I know I don't. I don't use the name of God as a cuss word. I don't say, oh my God. It's just never been a part of my vocabulary. Maybe that has been of yours. I want to challenge you this morning to stop that. God is worthy of your reverence and your respect. And throwing his name around is not a proper way to use his name. However, I look at my own life, and while I don't say the name of God like that, I have certainly misused his name in so many ways. I've been presumptuous with his name. I've attached his name to things. I've said, oh, Jesus is going to do that, without really knowing that he would do that. Other ways I've watered him down. I mean, this morning's message was preached at me. This is me. Everything I shared are things that God's been dealing with me on this week. So friends, this morning God's calling us to make this right. He's calling us to repent of misusing his name. And he's bringing us back to a place of reverence for his name. Oh, God. God, bring us to that place, Lord, where we have awe for your name, where we have respect for your name, Lord, where we speak your name in even just reverent, hushed tones, your name, God. Is holy. Oh, God. May you, God, be held in high esteem in New River Church. We lift you up. Yes. I just kind of feel led. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed here. Normally we close by standing and singing, and I open up the altar and that sort of thing, but this morning I sense the Lord just saying, just stay seated, just stay seated. Stay still in the presence of the Lord. I just invite Karis, if you want to worship team, if you want to sing, we can sing, friends, but let's just stay seated for a minute as we sing, okay? Let's...